next year we'll have books that will be kept, so we won't have to do all that. I just feel like it'll be a little bit easier. At least.
You say that, but we actually haven't started.
Well, yes, we haven't started. We haven't officially started.
Which is exactly what we said last year.
One characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. It was grit.
And we're back.
We're back.
After a week off.
And a new virus.
Yes.
Not on our team.
Not a software virus. We got, we did get ahead an episode, but we quickly burned through that surplus, and now we're back to real time ish.
Trying.
So, what's going on? Why did we miss a week? Would you say, if you had to attribute it to something?
A lot of things going on. We brought on Josh on the user feed side. So he's been ramping up over the past couple weeks. That's one big thing. And then we had some performance issues crop up, like in terms of like the product.
Yes.
Load performance. And it's been tough to figure it out. So you've been doing that. And so that's taken a lot of your time. Which is, there's only two of us, so
yep.
That's a lot of time.
Bottlenecks. Also taxes.
Taxes,
bookkeeping.
Which before we even started taxes, we had to do bookkeeping for the entire year, which is not ideal and not what I would advise anyone to do.
But yeah,
that's what we did. So we used a bookkeeper to go through that, and they've been taking some time going through that. And then, so we finally got to the end of that. And so now we're starting the taxes that we need to be done very quickly. So a lot of like back office stuff has taken a very, like just a ton of time. And then like, oh yeah, there's all the other like stuff about the business that you still is happening, like sales and support and all that stuff. So you're like doing that too. So that just ends up taking like tons of time. I feel like I've been spinning around in a circle for like the past like 3 weeks. Yeah. It feels like we're not making progress, but like, obviously we are, but it's just like things that like, I never feel like I'm making progress unless the revenue is like going up.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
Even though that's not true. That's not actually like a real thing. But yeah.
If we're not deploying shipping code, like it's the same thing, same problem.
Yeah. So a lot of the, but you know, you have to do this stuff, and it sucked last year when we had to do it. I remember spending like, I felt like an entire week doing tax related stuff, and it was like a huge, and we were like moving to an S corp, and like, it was a huge pain in the ass, and it just took like an entire week of time. And then you're like lightly trying to like at least stay afloat on like the actual business.
Well, what's weird too, is it ends and you feel relief, but it's like, you don't really have anything. There's nothing to show for it. You're just like, you did compliance stuff, and now yeah. you're in compliance.
Yep.
And there's not really, that's not really a fun thing to celebrate.
No.
Let's go out and celebrate that we
see
gave the government money and complied with their orders.
Yeah. I punted in college, and it kind of feels a lot like being a punter, honestly.
As long as you don't, no one cares. Just do your job.
Exactly.
No celebration.
Everyone expects for the perfect.
If you screw it up, though, you're in huge trouble.
Yeah, the perfect like 50-yard
hang time.
Big hang time punt down the field. Like that's the expectation. You're not going to get like, you'll get a pat on the back, but you're not getting like, the crowd's not roaring for you to do that. But heaven forbid you like shank one off the side of your foot like 15 yards because the wind's blowing in your face and everybody's pissed at you. So it's like the only way, like. It's just a lot of, there's no good outcome. It's just like what the expected
best case scenario is. It's done.
Yeah. So anyways, been doing all that fun stuff. And oh yeah. And then also, so we, what we're probably, I guess we're going to talk a lot about on this episode is, so now we have some part of our team is in the Philippines, on the customer success services support side. And then we have an engineer in Brazil. And we have an engineer / do everything just like us kind of person in Josh in Canada. So we now have a bunch of people and obviously we're in the US. So, and we're an S corp. So we pay ourselves as W-2 employees. So we've got like a very the way that we pay the remote team is as contractors. So even though we don't have, even though we're not like, I don't know how they describe it, but like we don't have like full-time, like it's not W-2, but like full-time, employees like with an office or whatever, like in these other remote locations in different countries.
Yeah.
It's still super complicated to like, which is the reason why you go the contractor route, is that it's less complicated than having to go through the whole process of trying to figure out how to like, I have an, you know, a physical office location in X like, country.
Let's
and
go set up a
taxes.
Bunch of paperwork and office space and
super confusing. But even paying contractors in different countries has turned out to be somewhat confusing in itself. Way less confusing, but still a pain.
Well, it's like
to deal with.
There are easy. Well, and I can only imagine what it would have been like to try to do this 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, terrible.
But because there are. And we've used some of the easier routes, but you obviously pay a premium. Some of them you pay a premium. Some of this comes about from us trying to work more directly with people versus going through like intermediaries that make it easy because they basically do all the human work,
like Upwork.
In addition to the, Upwork, for example, like
which
makes
we
it super easy.
Use that.
Yeah.
We use Upwork for the folks on our team that are in the Philippines.
And it's great.
Yeah, it's super simple,
but
easy.
It's annoying because they take a cut, and that cut changes
randomly
over time. So if you're starting with someone you've been working with, like you don't really want to move to that. Like it's not really a platform for existing people you work with. It's more for discovery and then initiation and stuff.
They take like a 3% fee on every time that you pay someone. They take
in addition to
fee.
I think or maybe
no,
it's
they
changed.
Got rid of they used to have a flat fee of like it changed over time based on how long you'd been working with someone, but it was like I think it was like
oh that's
20,
gone away now okay I
like
didn't
$25
know.
Or something, and then no originally there was like a 2%,
it would go down,
no,
as 20%. You worked longer,
there was like a 20% fee, there was like all these crazy fees, but now it's like a 3% fee on every payment, which seems
reasonable.
It's not that much worse than just like if I were to use TransferWise or something to pay them, there would be fees every time that I send a payment. So it's fairly close. The only difference is like they take care of all the like any tax related form, like anything that's like tax related.
Yeah.
They take care of that. Upwork does. So using TransferWise is like a worse option.
I think, I think of it like a layer, the layers. It's at the most fundamental layer, you have just literally giving money to someone in a foreign country in a way that's like you can account for and they can account for and can receive, like that's like the most low level part. And then you go up a level and you have to figure out how to do taxes or how to do whatever administrative paperwork. And that's where it's like, you can, Upwork does a lot of that for you, but you pay a little bit extra. Or if you use a staffing company, which we did, they'll do a lot of that stuff for you. Same thing. If you're trying to work more directly, you have to strip away those top layers. Like you want to do those top layers, or you want to find an inexpensive SaaS tool that does those. So that's kind of what we've been working through. And I guess we still haven't settled on for sure a solution, but we're close.
Yeah. Yeah. it's a solution is a good way to say it, because it's definitely not like, here's the product that works for us. It's like, here's like three different products that we have to like mix together to make the solution.
Yeah. It's kind of the nature of, I guess, aside from Stripe, who I wish would just somehow solve this problem for us.
They probably will.
Because I feel like they typically abstract away all the actual the sort of lowest level stuff for you. Like for example, like you can accept wire transfers to a Stripe bank account that actually has a real bank behind it, but we never have to worry about it.
Yeah.
If they could do something like that for this, that would be amazing. And I guess theoretically we could pay our people through Stripe accounts they own, except for they don't exist in Brazil and other places.
I think TransferWise does something like that. But last Friday I was going through all this stuff actually with Josh, cause I was like, let's just knock this out. And I assumed that it would be easier than it was. And as we started going deep into it, it was like every little, like you go one way and you're going down this path and you're like, oh, nope, can't do it that way. And then you go back and then you go down this other path and it's like, oh,
I'm thinking,
path kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like there's actually just a consultant job here. I'm sure there's people who do this, but it's like, hey, like you guys, you've already done this. Can you just, it's like, we'll run all of it. Just go get it set up.
That's an interesting, that would be an interesting business actually. Like there's like companies that have like, you know, outsource HR type thing, but they're probably not specific to like remote companies. Cause there's definitely a lot of like, so even as part of what we wanted to talk about is one of the things, Kyle was already talking about it, but it was basically like taking out the middleman. Like Upwork is a middleman for us. We're not going to take them out right now, but with the engineer that we work with in Brazil, we had basically a middleman there. Yeah. One of the reasons why we went with that middleman is that, they had some, like there was an option at some point to do some sort of like
direct,
like a payout to work with that contractor directly and no longer work with that company. And we're like, well, if we ever got to that point, like that might be an interesting thing to do. So, well, we finally got to that point and we figured out that there was a gap in terms of like what that company paid him and what we were paying that company,
which like obviously intuitively we knew because they have to make money, but
there was margin on top of
it. It was like once we were getting a little more upfront, like we were accumulating a little bit more cash in our bank accounts, and we worked with the person for a while and we knew that was an option. It was like maybe we should look into this. It just feels like, in addition to being less, like fewer moving parts and more like, I don't know, it just feels better. It's just better. It's like removing some piece from the puzzle, except for we didn't totally do that. Cause now we have, working through like adding back a piece that we control that kind of does what they were doing for us. Yeah. But yeah, they did. It was more than just
cost.
Hopefully not. We'll find out, but they did more than just like, to be fair, they did more than just the sort of money side of things.
They found.
Yeah. It was like a complete recruiting.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason we went there too, was like, we don't know where to start. We want to add someone. Yeah. So let's go there.
It was good,
I would do it again.
Like, yeah, it worked totally out great. Yeah. It was a good service for us. But at this time, like, I don't know, 6 to 7 months into it or however long it's been, it just seemed like the right move. And you did a bunch of analysis that was basically like, well, if we were to pay the fee to like basically buy them out, which was like, I don't remember what that fee was, but it's like, let's say
tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, $10,000+.
Yeah, it went down as you like went longer, I guess.
Yeah, so there was this whole analysis of like, okay, so if we pay this amount now, then we would, our monthly, because we're going direct and cutting out the middleman and that margin on top that company was putting on top of the monthly payment, now what's our monthly payment? And like, at what point is it the best financial choice for us to do it? And at some point for the, you know, our contractor too, right? Cause we can then pay them more and still be paying less ourselves. Cause we're not having, there's no middleman.
Yeah. Just to like a service fee basically.
Yeah. So we ended up doing that, at the end of February. We bought out the contract and now we're working with them directly. So then we've been trying to figure out, okay, now we've got this team that's remote. You know, we use Gusto for ourselves and it's super, like we don't do anything and it just pays us, like we get our payroll every month and that's awesome. And it's like, how do we set something like that up?
Yeah.
But
it broke my heart when I first started looking at this and I was like, let's see if Gusto can, and it was just like, nope, no international, womp womp.
There's a lot of those nopes, you dig more into this.
I get it. I'm sure it's hard enough to run Gusto in the, like a service like that in one country, but just with all the back end paperwork and craziness.
Yep.
But since I don't have to worry about that, I can just make demands and requests and ask for stuff. It would be nice if they did that.
Yeah. And we use Wave too for like accounting stuff and they don't do it either. Cause they do like, they have payroll too, which we don't use now. And they do not like, there's a lot of like gotchas in terms of like different countries and stuff. So can't use that. So then we started digging in and you found this tool called Remote Team that still sounds like it can kind of do some of this, at least for some countries. So we've been digging into that and we're kind of, I'd say we're like 75% of the way through like a solution to this, but basically they can hook into the services that you would use to, like, I could go use TransferWise to pay somebody now directly, but that's, I still have to go like do that every month. So if I could have like a service that, that, you know, basically just uses TransferWise to pay these people, then that would be,
yeah, it's sort of the, like the low level thing is TransferWise bank, like bank transfers. And then this can do more payroll-y, like next level, top, next level up, like taxes, payroll, vacation, like stuff like more kind of essential, but basic payroll functions or HR functions.
But here we go.
Yeah.
But then
caveat,
the caveat was, so in Brazil, apparently it's, you're a lot more optimized if, like, if you're a if you're working as a contractor, like whether it's in Brazil or with companies in the US, you get taxed at a much higher rate if you get that money paid to you personally, rather than if you had like a business account in Brazil. And like, it's just like the taxes are much less apparently. So everybody, I guess, just has like a business account. So when we, as we started digging, apparently TransferWise doesn't pay, or they can't do like business accounts in Brazil. So they can't like, you can't like transfer money to them. So then we're like, oh crap. So
yeah. And it even said something like, if you're a business in the US, you also can't pay. It was like, even if we had support for that, you still couldn't do it.
So like,
or something.
Basically like no business to business transactions overseas to Brazil.
Via TransferWise.
Via TransferWise.
So we, our silver bullet disappeared in front
of
our eyes.
For a moment.
Yeah.
And then, so now we're trying to see what other services will integrate with Remote Team, and apparently Payoneer does, and they're kind of, I guess they're like a TransferWise competitor. So we think Payoneer will work. However, our engineer in Brazil will have to set up a Payoneer account as well with his like business account, and then apparently it can work.
And then we'll use the Payoneer account.
Yeah.
Like as the front, as like the entry point basically for all of this.
So then we can set up monthly wages and stuff inside of Remote Team, and supposedly it will all just automatically work and like send to everybody on the team, whether it's through TransferWise or Payoneer. So
it's like that, it's that missing abstraction layer. I mean,
hopefully all this works.
We'll
I
see what
still
happens.
Don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to work. I posted something asking people what they do in the new microconf Slack. And I was telling you, like, a lot of people were responding, and everybody was like, everyone was saying, yeah, TransferWise. And I'm like, nah, you can't do that. Like,
yeah,
no,
that's
one knows.
That's like everyone's like default answer for this problem. But when you zoom into like a specific use
so
case,
gotchas.
There's a lot of edges to it.
Because it's every country's different, and there's business accounts and personal accounts. And
then also like, I don't want to make, we want to make it easy on us and easy to figure, like, just easy to manage, easy to hopefully like relatively automated.
But and you're always wondering like, is there a cheaper route here?
Yeah.
Like, what am I missing?
But at some point for me, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying about a consultant even. It's like, it's also really, it's, or I almost want to pay someone to just tell us, do all this research and then tell us what the best thing is. And then we'll just do it.
Right.
And it's like, you're paying a premium, like a one-time fee for that research. So we don't have to waste our time, which we've already done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully this podcast helps. We're doing the research for you, at least for this specific use case.
I saw a blog on Hubstaff.
They were like SEO'd all over this because I found some other blogs too.
So there was all these like tools, and I found it somewhat helpful, but still, I mean, some of the tools they were talking about, especially as it pertained to Brazil, looked a little bit like, I don't know. This is all stuff where I'm hooking my bank account to it.
And I noticed that
I'm just like, I don't know if these are like, that doesn't look like a legit company. Yeah. Like, why does this not look like a legit company?
Which there's nothing wrong with this, but I noticed that also a lot of them were like, you should use these. They also integrate with Hubstaff. Like, obviously that's part of the goal of a company blog is to like drive traffic to get customers. But I was like, oh, I can't really tell if this is like, are these good options or are these just like options that work with your software? So,
right. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll write a blog about it at some point.
When we figure this out.
I mean, we've also been doing a ton around like trying to figure out what bank account we're going to use moving forward. We use Bank of America now, but there's been, like, it's just not a great experience as you would, as you, yeah, as you would shocker. Guess. So we're like, we're looking at, you know, different banks and stuff. And, we kind of went on the same thing with like credit cards. We found out that we were like paying like international fees with our, Bank of America credit card.
Like because of like international time, software products or whatever.
Yeah. We're like, we like work with like, you know, Typeform and like these different, just, you know, basic software products. And like every time we spend money, we're like paying these little like $1 fees. And we're like, what is, we didn't even notice it for a while. And then we were just like, what is this? So
classic, that's a classic Bank of America. Unnoticed fees is like,
yep,
they're famous. So they're famous for that.
Yeah. Well, we finally, I know we've kind of talked junk about Brex before on here because of their sales process and stuff, but we, once we got past like a certain, the, whatever the threshold was in terms of your money in your bank account, which I've heard, this is funny. For the longest time we were pissed off because we were like trying, like we're a bootstrap company. So money goes in, money goes out like all the time. We never really had a lot of money in the bank at any given time because we didn't take funding. And then,
which I think is like, they're basically like focusing on people with a bunch of money from VCs.
So I don't remember what the total was. Like at one point it was like 50K. Then it was like, then you had to have like 100K. And they, the caveats are like, if you're bootstrap, you have to have 100K or like whatever in the bank. Otherwise you can't even like apply for it or whatever. So we finally got that, like, cause you know, we've gotten all these annual deals and stuff. We got above whatever that threshold was. And then, so we got the Brex account and we're like doing a lot through that, in terms of like the credit card. And I don't know, I don't really have any opinions on it yet. Like the credit card's working, but like, I don't have, we haven't been able to see how the rewards work yet. Cause we don't have enough spend yet. But, I did hear this morning that, apparently they changed their, whatever their threshold was, they like moved it down to $10,000.
Classic.
They made us go to after like $100,000.
Yeah. Well,
and they moved it down to 10, because they wanted to work with Y Combinator companies who had not raised yet. So they did that. I'm like, dude, what the,
it's still, whatever. It's still, focusing on the VC track.
People, oh yeah, right? Totally.
So classic.
But, anyway, so we're not, I wouldn't say we're like totally bought in. Like if Stripe came out with their card tomorrow, I'd probably move it all straight. Like, I mean, there's no
and
reason.
It's simplifying that, too. Simple, I mean, as long as the features are decent, and I mean, having virtual card numbers is really nice.
Yeah.
Like there's some stuff that I would, that I like a lot, and the rewards, I guess, hopefully will turn out to be valuable, but.
Oh shoot. I just thought of, as we talk about, like, we're trying to let people, like, you know, if you need like a, like something for your desk in your office space or something, like we'll, as a company, like, cover that sort of thing. But we didn't give anybody like any of the virtual cards, so they could have just done it that way, but we did not do that. So we probably should do that.
This is new. We're still new to this world where we don't have two crappy Bank of America credit cards in our pockets.
Yeah. But yeah, so that stuff has taken up a ton of time because a lot of it is like, it's so much like research type stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking actually as we're talking, we, it would probably be cool if we compiled some of this, like all these various categories of like, especially remote type of stuff. Cause I know we talked about this on a previous podcast or two about, checking in and trying to do like stand ups or how do you do that kind of stuff. And we've done some experimentation around that. And it would almost be cool to have like a little handbook sort of thing that we document some of this. Like, here's how we pay our remote team. Here's how we do check-ins. Here's how we communicate. Here's how we kind of have some of that on Notion. It would be cool to make more of it public for people to reference.
Let's give it a few months.
Oh yeah. Well, we haven't figured it out yet. We don't know.
Definitely not.
We don't know how to pay our remote team yet. We're still figuring it out, but we do know how, like we've done some of the check-in stuff and we have like experiences we could share. Yeah. So it'd be cool to write more on that. So with all of our ample time, maybe once we finish taxes and I don't know,
man,
we'll see.
Yeah. We're trying to also figure out if, so apparently there's this R&D tax credit. And you have to like fill out these forms and like, you know, the way we're thinking about it is like, well, like everything we do is R&D basically. Like for the past 3 years, like pretty much all the, any money we've spent has been like, not all of it, but like a lot of it has been R&D. And obviously like we have two other engineers on the team. So that's R&D. Like anyway, so we're trying to figure out how to go about getting that credit. especially like for this past year, which is the most money we've made. So we're trying to, you know, make sure that we get the best deal possible. But yeah, it's just such a, like, I hate this stuff so much. It's like, it doesn't feel, it just doesn't feel like you're moving the business forward at all. And it all just comes at you at once.
It's just, it's just keeping the business, like staying in compliance, keep the business running so you can keep, hopefully at some point in April, get back to your real job and forget about all this. The good news is we do get a little bit better every year. Doesn't really feel that way because there's always a new bottleneck, but now, like, next year we'll have books that will be kept. So we won't have to do all that. I just feel like it'll be a little bit easier at least.
You say that, but we actually haven't started.
We haven't officially started that.
What we said last year,
we're closer than we were last year. We're closer. We have someone we've worked with. We have like payment options and stuff. Yeah. So we're getting there. I think the in my ideal world, it's like you wake up on like whatever that you come back to work after New Year's Day and you could basically like initiate, a tax thing. Like, hey, let's start our taxes because we already have what we need. That would be amazing.
Yeah, we'll get that in place. So it's been a lot of that stuff and just trying to... So like basically the actual like day-to-day of the business of like sales, building new products and all that stuff, while it's still happening, it's kind of taken a back seat to all this other stuff because there's so much of like it has to happen now kind of thing. It's been prioritized. So... it always feels crappy when this stuff's happening. Cause you're just like, ugh, I feel like I'm not like moving the business forward at all like this month, but you know, it's just 1 month. So you end up, and I mean, it's just a bunch of like at the end of the month, we were expecting a deal that we've had a commitment on and like, you know, it feels, you know, like it is moving forward, but it's like, it was supposed to move forward before the end of the month and you like kind of expect those things. And then even like up to the end of the day, like my wife was upset at me because I was very angry that it didn't, not like angry at anyone. Like I was just like,
it just like didn't match expectations.
Basically. No. Cause I would like, I thought it was coming in and I'm
kind
like,
of out of nowhere sort of.
I had my like whiskey set up. Like I was like ready, like,
so this is actually your fault. You poured the whiskey. You can't count your whiskey glasses before they hatch something.
Well,
yeah, I'm blaming you now.
Definitely in the past, like in my past, when stuff like this happened, I would have been upset because I was in sales and like it mattered like to numbers and stuff. But in the like the beginning of our company, I haven't cared as much about stuff like that because it didn't really matter if weather came in one day. Like none of that. We didn't have those kind of like stressful goals. Now that we've started to hire people, it's not like we need the money. But it feels, it's like this internal thing that I like, I want to get to that break even point as soon as possible. Even if I'm like right next to it, it's like, it just, I don't know.
I know what you mean. But I think it is like, that is one thing that I enjoy is that I find, and this is kind of like what Basecamp talks about, not having goals and stuff, but which I think they obviously take a very extreme stance on that. I think
extreme,
like a less extreme version of that for me is like, having like a ball, like having a target or something like we want to do X, Y, Z in revenue in this quarter makes sense. But I think it's like if it's March 30th or March 31st and you think it's going to happen, it doesn't happen or it didn't happen and you get it April 5th, like
it doesn't matter.
Why does this matter? Like why we actually shouldn't, to me, like I don't care about that. Like
it's all, we're really all doing what
we, and you hire people you trust, you enable them, you give them like autonomy to do stuff and they do the work and we get where we get. And if we can't get there and we don't get close, we try to figure out why and get better. But it's not like, hey, wrong hour of the wrong day where we hit the number. It's like,
yeah,
who cares?
I think some of it is like, well, like in our last company, I had to report, you know, sales and numbers and whatever to someone else who was judging me based on that or grading, you know what I mean? So
but now, that's like the fundamental difference.
It's the outsider.
Like, it's the fundamental difference. Like we, especially because we're small, but I think generally like you hire people you trust, you like stay in close personal, like we're humans. We don't have to make it this complete data. Like data is good, but we're all humans and there's other external factors like coronavirus, for example. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's going to, like, I'm not going to blame director of sales because everyone stopped spending money on ads or something. Like, I don't know. It just leaves no room for nuanced interpretation, human understanding. So it's not really my jam, but that being said, it would have been nice if we'd gotten it, but hopefully it'll come in this month. Well, hopefully.
We started doing those monthly updates. I think that a little bit.
That's giving you that.
It's giving me a little bit of that. Yeah, but accountability
I think
thing
this of kind like, of message that we're talking about, like we should put that in there. I think it's.
No, yeah. I mean, in my update, it'll be like, unfortunately, we did not hit as high, but this thing's going to close in like a week and it's going to be like a pretty large deal for us. And so like, it doesn't really
And like,
matter,
this is a perfect case where there was basically a gap in expectation or understanding of like the process that our potential customer, like our, like they didn't share everything that needed to happen. And so we thought it was closer or
to
whatever.
To be fair, one reason I was mad was mostly mad at myself because, a good sales rep, like somebody that's good at sales knows where they don't know something. And because of the fact that, and this is why it's hard when you're selling these kind of bigger contracts and bigger deals and stuff where you really need to know those. You need to know everything about the deal and like the expectations and like the process on their end and all that stuff. You're basically like a project manager and you really need to know all the details. If you don't know them, those are gaps where it's like, that's where you could get surprised.
Risk factors, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, this is stuff that I always like taught like other people, like sales reps that work for me. But like when you're doing a bunch of different things, you don't have time to dig into those details because you're doing all these other things like figuring out how the heck to pay somebody just, in a different
country.
The
previous 30 minutes of stuff.
You're doing all this other stuff. So this stuff, the sales stuff is important, but I can't dig in as much as I used to be able to dig in if that was the only thing I was doing. And so while normally it won't really affect things that much, in this particular case, it did because I didn't know. There are some things I didn't know about it, and we got surprised on the last day of the month with additional things in the process on their end that I didn't know had to happen because I didn't ask. And so it was partly, I mean, obviously.
But it was also misrepresented, I guess, in some
It was
way.
Misrepresented, but I could have dug in more.
Yeah, sure.
So since then, I've been digging in a ton. Like, I've been asking all these different questions, trying to figure out everything about the process so that I don't get surprised again. But
I would also say, too, like, it's interesting for us because we have a lot of custom deals that we've done, we as in you, and most of them aren't, like, a lot of them will end up being pretty simple, I would say. Like, the process doesn't seem, like, it's not like there's always, like, some five-step, like, 10-department process. So it feels like sometimes we can get away with kind of like, they said they would move forward and then they just do it and it's fine. So it is a little like, it's not a situation like where every deal is a custom long process. So you're not like, it's almost like you're not in the default mode of like always assuming that it's going to be like that, you know? Like,
I got a little lazy on it too. Cause in this case I knew like it's a big company. So I figured there was probably, you know, there's approvals and things like that happen. However, the people that I was working with directly were like the COO and the SVP. So in those particular cases, when you're that high up, usually what they tell you, what they say to you, if they say something's going to get done, like they're the last.
Yeah, yeah. They actually have the ability to just push things through.
But I didn't ask, is there another, like, you know, what's the process here? I didn't ask because I just assumed. And when you assume, sometimes you can get surprised. So.
Yeah, you know what they say, when you assume, you don't get the deal on the last day of the month. I think that's how the saying goes.
Exactly. So, that's another topic for another conversation as to like in larger deals, what kinds of things do you need to ask and things that you need to know about? I mean, honestly, like those kind of things do feel a little pushy because you're asking stuff that doesn't seem to matter that much in terms of like helping them have success with the product. Like
you're not really helping them in any way. You're helping
you
their future goal of using your product.
Yeah,
is basically what you're trying to help.
Well, that's the way you phrase it, but really, it is helping you understand just expectations. And then you can use those in the future. Once you know those things, you can then like use them later. You said XYZ.
Yeah.
So like, but you know, in this yeah, in this scenario, I didn't know what the process was. I assumed the process ended with, you know, I'm the SVP or I'm the COO. I can just make this happen, which normally is the case. Because I was doing other stuff, I didn't ask this and I got lazy. And then, yeah, it's like, oh, actually we have all this other stuff. And it's like, well,
all right,
dang it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, yeah, it doesn't, I mean, I was mad for, you know, a night, but then I got over it and yeah,
it's a new week, a new month.
Cause then I thought it was going to close this week.
Yeah.
That's what I was told. And then it pushed again with another little bit of a surprise. So now I'm asking lots of questions and now I feel like I really know most of what's going on.
Yeah.
But who knows? But yeah, so we've got some, you know, while this particular month was not, you know, it wasn't bad by any means, but it definitely wasn't up to the level that we've had over the previous like 4 months, in terms of revenue growth. Like there's some big opportunities, like for this quarter overall, it'll be good if we get these in.
Yeah.
Which I think we will.
It's just taking time to reel them in.
Yeah. Well, they're bigger deals. So of course it's going to take more time.
Yeah.
And they'll be worth it. But yeah,
Yeah, anyways. I think it would be cool to do more. I think we've said this before and we never do. And we kind of just did meander our way into sales topics, but I think it'd be cool to talk more about that stuff.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah. We've had some commentary around that. So we'll see.
Yeah. I would love to. I feel like I'm starting to get back. Like I was, Josh, you know, Josh has obviously, you know, built his own SaaS product before, built his own business, but he hasn't, you know, he's an engineer and he's never had like sales training or any of that kind of stuff. I know he's mentioned he's starting to like read some different like sales books and stuff, try to learn it a little bit more. Cause user feed is a higher average deal size than things that he's sold in the past. So like you may get on demos and you may like have to have a little bit of a sales process. And so he's been like, he'll, do like a demo and record it. And then I go back in and like, give him feedback and kind of pick it apart a little bit. So it's been interesting, like getting back into that world of the stuff that I used to do.
I think that's part of our challenge is like finding that balance between inbound, low touch and medium touch. Like, well, I guess we don't really, it's still all inbound,
it's all
but
inbound,
it's like
medium
we want
touch.
To do like trial nurture kind of stuff. And I think that's where we need to improve. So,
yeah, I would love to do out. I am kind of wanting to do more outbound and I say that I want to do it, but it's like, Well, you just heard the past 30 minutes what we've been doing all the time. So there's not really a lot of time to do that. So maybe we'll hire somebody at some point and have them start to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's definitely starting to get more into the weeds of the sales stuff again. So it's starting to come back. I thought I forgot about all of it, but as I start to get back into it again, it comes back pretty quickly. So then I like start to remember, oh yeah, that's the process that's the kind of stuff I used to do. So as we start to get into this stuff a little bit more, maybe we can talk about sales process and, you know, all that good stuff.
Totally. And I think we alluded to some of the application side, product side kind of limitations and changes that we're making on the back end. So we can, that's still ongoing in some ways, so we can cover that more later as well.
Yeah, and we can also talk, like I think it maybe next episode or something we'll get Josh on. We talk about like onboarding someone and running a product that's not, you know, getting into a product that's not your own or something. I don't know, like stuff that I think maybe some people would want to hear. But yeah, if you have anything specific you want us to talk about, definitely feel free to reach out anywhere you want to.
Totally.
Like we have, I think there's like an email
on the actual website,
you could like go to our products and like reach out to us on intercom, like whatever.
madewithgrid.fm, tweet at us.
adreform.com, userfeed.io.
Yeah, whatever. We have people emailing us to our intercom emails. So we're doing intercom.
Last night I was looking around on my just personal Twitter and I went to my direct messages and apparently there's like two different kinds of direct messages. There's like people you know direct messages, which shows up. Then there's this one little like thing you can click that takes you to like, I guess you can send direct messages to people even if you're not.
I think you have to. I think you might have control over that setting. You as the account owner.
I don't know. I never even knew about this. So I opened that thing and there was like there was like 5 to 10 messages from people like talking about the podcast and wanting to like talk about it. And I was like, oh, and they were from like 6 months ago.
Well, hello everybody. Sorry about that.
I reached out to a couple people. I was like, hey, sorry about that. Yeah. Happy to chat about whatever. So whoops.
Well, yeah. Sorry. Now we know. So we'll check that.
Yeah. I guess people actually do listen.
Sweet.
Where are we at now? What's the total downloads?
I don't know. Like we crossed 2,000 total.
Oh, nice.
So we're somewhere north of that. Yeah, obviously we've gotten some good traction on this year's episodes, and I know we have more ideas for guests and stuff, so we'll keep doing it.
Awesome.
Cool. Sweet. Well, until next time.
All right. Don't get coronavirus.
Yep.
All right. See ya.